This Janet Mefford Today podcast is sponsored by Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a nonprofit healthcare sharing ministry that allows you to control and manage your own healthcare and choose any doctor or hospital in the nation. If you're a freedom-loving American looking for contract-free healthcare, call now 855-585-4237 or go to libertyhealthshare.org.
This is Janet Mefford Today.
Our confidence is in Christ alone.
Are we going to stand with God? Come what may.
If the Word of God says it, I believe it.
And that's the way it is.
And now, here is Janet Mefford.
Hey, everybody. Great to be with you again. Well, we're all trying to get some more information about Neil Gorsuch, President Trump's pick for the Supreme Court. The nation's leading LGBT legal organization, though, has already weighed in with its thoughts. Lambda Legal says Gorsuch is dangerous. So why are they saying that? Peter LaBarber has written about it over at LifeSiteNews.com. He's also president of Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. We're going to talk to him about that and much more today, as much as we can fit in. Right, Peter? Good to have you here.
Hey, thanks, Janet. Great to be on again.
All right. Lambda Legal, unpack this for us. Tell us about this group. Who are these guys? Why do they think Gorsuch is dangerous?
Well, the bottom line is they know he's dangerous to their agenda because he's an originalist. And
right,
if you believe in the Constitution as the original source of of America and American jurisprudence, then it's hard to really see how same-sex marriage, so-called, is a right. Because there were sodomy laws when America was formed.
Sure.
You know, laws punishing sodomy. I just learned today that up until 1962, sodomy was a felony in, I think, almost every state. But that's according to a liberal source, Wikipedia. So they're fearful because they've had the gravy train with Obama for 8 years, Janet.
Yes.
And the gravy train is at least stalling, if not coming to a complete stop, because Trump, we don't really know where he is, on the full homosexual agenda.
Right. Now, one of the things that they published in this article was Neil Gorsuch has an unacceptable hostile record toward LGBT people. Where do we see this hostile record? What hostile record?
Well,
I haven't seen it.
That's their extrapolation. I mean, he was for the Hobby Lobby decision, which granted the rights of employers to live, basically live. They treated employees like people. And he also supports people's right to live by their moral code. And he has a line in there in one of his cases, which I think is very good for us, where he talks about, and I'm not going to get it exactly, maybe you'll remember it, Janet, but it talks about not being forced to basically support somebody else's wrongdoing. And I think you use that in the Hobby Lobby case, but wrongdoing. Now, if you don't have to support contraception, like the Little Sisters of the Poor case, if an employer should not be forced to subsidize contraception if it believes certain contraceptives are abortifacients or whatever, then by extension, a company or a person should not be forced to support homosexual so-called marriage.
Got it. So when they're saying that Neil Gorsuch has an unacceptable hostile record toward LGBT people, they're basically, he doesn't. It's basically that they're looking at the Hobby Lobby and the Little Sisters of the Poor. And the way you quoted it is they said, we absolutely must not confirm a Supreme Court nominee who has ruled that the religious beliefs of employers can trump the law. It's a short hop from birth control restrictions to restrictions on the intimate relationships and health care needs of LGBT people. So they're seeing the connection here. If you give people religious freedom, which we already have guaranteed to us in the First Amendment, then it is bad for the sexual anarchists.
Right. And they say the law, but these are newfangled laws which create so-called rights based on a sexual sin. Let's remember that. When you see sexual orientation law, that means granting rights, so-called, based on homosexual behavior, ultimately. Now, the question is, if rights come from God, as our founding fathers believe and that we believe, our rights are ultimately rooted in God, how can you also have equal rights based on homosexuality, which God regards as a sin?
Yeah.
So naturally, those two sets of rights, one legitimate, one not, are at war against each other.
So people may say, so what if Lambda Legal doesn't like him? What difference does it make? What do you see as the significance of this very big legal organization for LGBT community standing up against Gorsuch in this way?
Well, I guess the only way it could have maximum significance is if some Republicans cave, like two already have on the nomination of Betsy DeVos, who, by the way, is pro-gay, by the way. I didn't know that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so she's not really rock solid on this issue. But, if they succeed, their goal is to peel off a couple of Republicans or do what they have to stop this nomination. And they're desperate to stop this nomination because they'd much rather have a so-called moderate Republican appointee of the type we've gotten before. Now, that there's no guarantee that Gorsuch is going to be, you know, rule in our favor on same-sex so-called marriage or on abortion. But we have his record as, and we're told that he thinks like Scalia, and Scalia was an originalist. And he has also, Gorsuch has also complained about how left-wing social justice advocates are going to the courts to get their agenda done rather than get it done through the legislative process.
Right.
And that's
right.
Dangerous to them because that's how they're winning. It's, a lot of ways is through the courts.
That's exactly right. So if they end up getting Trump appointed judges, not just at the Supreme Court, but lower down at some of the lower courts, that could impede them. So, and they also don't think he's transgender enough, right? This is another complaint Lambda Legal has.
Well, yeah, and I haven't read the decision, but they're complaining about this case, which apparently was ruled in 2015, in which a transgender, a man, a biological man, was fighting the courts because he was in prison, in an Oklahoma prison, and he wasn't able to get his hormone treatments as he desired them, which is, you know, the hormonal female hormones to supposedly become a woman. Of course, you can't really change your sex.
No.
But also, he wasn't able, and I'm almost going to cry here, Janet.
I'm sure.
He wasn't able to wear his feminine clothing, his feminine undergarments.
Excuse me, but women don't wear...
It makes me want to cry.
I was going to say, all right, maybe underwear, but you can't wear feminine garments in prison anyway. They wear prison clothes too, right? I mean...
Yeah, we have to have some order in our society. If you're in a male prison, you know, prison is not human rights central.
No.
Your rights are supposed to be abrogated in prison.
Right.
And if we and what's happened with this agenda, it's incredible. The homosexual activists use everything to their advantage. They're actually using prisons to push forward this radical transgender agenda by using prisons. And it's happened in some places, Janet, as you know, some prisons have actually subsidized and performed these radical and gross transgender procedures in which, you know, you're trying to become like the opposite gender.
Bradley Manning, everybody. Bradley Manning. I mean, of course, not anymore because he's going to get out of jail. But yeah, that's just.
But they think that that's going to mobilize America to stop Gorsuch. I mean, you know, they've advanced a lot under Obama, but we're not in Obama territory anymore.
Oh, that's
not
so good.
Now we've got some common sense coming back.
Yeah, we do. I love this. Can you say that again? That just made me smile when you said we're not in Obama territory anymore.
We're not in Obama territory anymore.
Oh, man, that is great. And the Human Rights Campaign, unsurprisingly, the largest pro-homosexual lobby group, probably in the world because they're the biggest in America. They also oppose Gorsuch. Similar reasons?
Yeah, they're all, you know, they're saying they cite the Hobby Lobby case. They're deathly afraid of Hobby Lobby because what that symbolizes is religious freedom triumphs over newfangled gay rights.
Yeah, newfangled gay rights. Yeah, exactly. One of the things you cited in the article, I think this is interesting. One of the things they said about Gorsuch is they said he has advocated for eliminating Chevron deference, a critical administrative law doctrine that allows our federal system of regulations to function, which could result in the significant loss protections for LGBTQ people. Now, this goes back to a really significant point in my view, Peter, and maybe you feel this way too. When they're citing regulations as being key to their rights, doesn't that point out how crazy this whole thing is? Because Congress should be making these laws. They couldn't even get ENDA through for about two decades. They've had to use the power of regulations and executive orders to get what they want.
Right. We're talking groups like the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, EEOC, which Obama had really radicalized, as you know.
Yes.
And so, they rely on federal regulations. They rely on laws which end up doing things which nobody ever foresaw. For example, in the Boy Scout situation, the whole Boy Scout, the homosexual campaign against the Boy Scouts began with a, quote, sexual orientation law in New Jersey, which was the first used to sue the Boy Scouts. So most Americans have just no clue how these laws are being used, and hopefully now under Trump, although I have big reservations about some of the things Trump is doing on this issue, hopefully common sense will come back and religious freedom will truly be protected.
Absolutely. Yes. Now, one of the things I want to get into in the next segment, Peter, is this whole aspect of the Trump administration announcing it will uphold this executive order that was signed by Obama on LGBT discrimination. We're going to dive into that and more when we come back here on Janet Mefford Today.
Here is today's Capitol Hill Brief with Concerned Women for America President Penny Nance.
President Donald Trump had promised during his campaign to nominate someone for the Supreme Court in the mold of the late great Justice Antonin Scalia. This meant someone committed to the text of the Constitution as written, instead of the phony liberal philosophy of a living, breathing Constitution that they can manipulate at will. I was able to tell the president last week that this is the reason he received the overwhelming support of conservative women in the election. And we are so happy to see that President Trump followed through by nominating Judge Neil Gorsuch to be the 113th Justice of the Supreme Court. Judge Gorsuch's strong conservative record will make it a pleasure to fight for his confirmation in the Senate.
Our next Supreme Court justice will shape America's future for generations to come. Judge Neil Gorsuch will uphold conservative constitutional values. Tell the Senate to confirm him today by signing the petition at CapitolHillBrief.org. That's CapitolHillBrief.org.
Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with real hope.
Fear. It's something everyone experiences. But you know, for some people, fear has become a paralyzing force that's keeping them from becoming the person God wants them to be. Has fear gotten the best of you? Now's the time to break the chains of fear. Hey, it's God's will for you to live a life of victory over fear. Bible says in 2 Timothy, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and discipline. Are you facing some scary circumstances? Remember, God does his best work in the worst of situations. So keep your eyes on Jesus. Know that he is able, more than able, to handle your problems. Trust him and obey him no matter what. God honors those who believe him enough to step out in faith. A step of faith will bring real hope.
Find real hope in Jesus Christ. Visit FromHisHeart.org.
We are back on Janet Mefford Today. Peter LaBarbera joining us. You got to check out his stuff at LifeSiteNews.com and also AFTA.com. He's president of Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. And we were talking a little bit about this uproar in the LGBT community over the appointment or potential confirmation of Neil Gorsuch to the Supreme Court. They find him dangerous and horrible and extreme and all the rest. So there's a lot to talk about. One of the things that I wanted to get to, Peter, with you, because I wanted to get your take on this. The Trump administration says it's going to uphold this executive order signed by President Obama in 2014 that basically protects the LGBT community against discrimination in federal contracts and all this stuff. Tell us what this is about and why you think the Trump administration is continuing to uphold this. What's going on?
First of all, in upholding this Obama executive order, which is a huge mistake by Trump, he said, quote, President Trump continues to be respectful and supportive of LGBTQ rights, just as he was throughout the election, unquote.
Yeah.
Now, let me just take that apart in a second. The question always was in the campaign, is Trump just saying, I'm going to protect the homosexual community, from terrorism and from these crazy Muslims who want to throw homosexuals off the top of buildings? Is it that kind of thing? Or is he actually talking about, you know, embracing the actual rights agenda based? It's a fake rights, of course, special rights. It's been called many things, but you can't have true, genuine, godly, God-given rights based on a sexual perversion.
Right.
Is he talking about that? Well, this partly answers that question because he upholds this policy by Obama, which, one, protected federal workers on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity. That's homosexuality and gender confusion. But also it applies to all contractors. Federal contractors also have to have the same non-discrimination policies to do business with the federal government. Well, okay, where does that put Hobby Lobby, for example?
Right.
If Hobby Lobby was going to, for example, be part of a maybe an outreach campaign after a disaster or something, and they were going to be involved with the federal government, are they banned because they don't have a pro-homosexual, pro-transgender policy? I mean, this whole policy is fraught with problems, and Trump, after being lobbied by the log cabin Republicans, which are the homosexual Republicans, he kept the policy by Obama, and that's very bad for us.
Really? Now, tell us a little bit about that. The log cabin Republicans were involved. Explain what happened here.
Well, log cabin has been very smartly talking up Trump's alleged pro-homosexual bona fides. And it's very smart. You see these conservative, so-called conservative Republicans, and I don't believe they're truly conservative in the traditional sense, because they may be conservative on certain issues, but when it comes to sodomy and homosexuality, they're quite radical, just like other homosexual activists, right?
Sure, sure.
But anyways, they're out there saying, oh, Trump is the most pro-gay president ever. Now, this is after Obama. Keep that in mind.
Wow.
So you've got Log Cabin is now trying to assume the role of the Republican gay rights group, and they're being very successful because Washington is very, the media is very far left. And as you know, many libertarian Republicans now are inclined to support homosexuality. And so we're in big trouble because Christians got to wake up. The libertarian Republicans are trying to push the party into a pro-homosexual, basically ignore the platform, make it a pro-homosexual party in the name of the big tent and inclusion.
Well, one of the things that I thought was really good was something that Nate Madden wrote over at Conservative Review. And one of the things he said was that nobody can honestly claim to protect the rights of all Americans, meaning President Trump, while arbitrarily elevating the manufactured positive rights of some while throwing the fundamental rights of others under the bus. I'm not so sure that Trump understands that. He's obviously a smart guy. I think he's in a bind because he doesn't want to come in and make more people mad at him. He's already had a lot of that in his first couple of weeks in office. But really, these two rights, one really what we're talking about is actual rights, which is the First Amendment, and manufactured rights, which is what we have gotten under the LGBT movement, that those two things can't coexist. And I wonder at what point he's going to realize that.
Well, I assume his conservative aides are educating him on that. But you're right. As Kai Feldblum, who is a lesbian attorney and lesbian and gay rights activist, she called it a zero-sum game.
Yes, she
did. In other words, somebody wins.
Yep.
And right now, in these cases, it's the homosexual activists are winning. They're winning these court cases. So you're right. Trump's trying to play both sides here. He issues the executive order on behalf of homosexual activists, and now we hear that there's a religious freedom executive order, which already the left is petrified about.
They're going nuts.
If the Nation, which is a left-wing source, account is true, there's an executive order that's circulating. Now, I'm told from people on the Hill that these executive orders in a Republican administration or a Democratic administration, it's sort of like laws bubbling up, right?
Yeah.
This is something that people are pushing for, and there's also obviously pushback against it. The question is, even if he introduces it, that basically means he's introduced contradictory executive orders, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and
one that crushes religious freedom,
right,
at least for us moral people, and then one that basically stands for religious freedom.
Yeah, he's upholding one that Obama put out, and then he's putting out his own, presumably upholding religious freedom. But on that score, you're really right. I was reading this Nation article as well, talking about this leaked draft of this religious freedom order. They say that it would legalize discrimination. But as I'm reading through the article, it sounds fantastic. I just wonder, though, if that's something that the president should do through an executive order versus Congress. You know, we have RFRA, and we've had all sorts of things go through.
Right.
We have the First Amendment Defense Act, which should go through.
Right.
What are your thoughts on should the president do this alone, or is this better left to Congress?
Well, I think maybe it should be left to Congress. The temptation is to do things by executive order, which is what Obama did. And I don't think we want a conservative version of Obama doing everything by executive order.
No, just
however,
procedurally.
Jan, I'm worried, too, that some people in the pro-family movement are sort of falling back to this religious liberty, and they're not really, you know, going full out against the idea of a Republican embracing so-called rights based on homosexuality.
Right.
We know that they by definition, these so-called rights end up trampling on religious freedom.
They do. And yeah, exactly right. And another point that Nate Madden had made is these are laws. I mean, basically, this executive order upholding the federal contractor thing. There's no problem. There's no concerted effort to drive homosexuals out of cubicles and onto the unemployment line. This is exactly what the scare tactics that the HRC and some of these other gay groups put forward is that, do you know that you can be hired on Friday and fired on Saturday? I'm like, name somebody who's gone through that in the last 8 years.
Yeah, the real people being fired are people like Matt Barber, who's fired by Allstate.
Well, yeah, you know,
But remember, what they're doing is now they're conflating it, and they raise the bar, and they're saying, oh, if somebody chooses not to make a gay wedding cake, so-called, that's the equivalent of Jim Crow, which, number one, is a tremendous insult to Black Americans.
Yes.
But number two, it's just, you know, that's ridiculous. We are allowed our conscience in this country. And telling a baker that he has to bake a gay wedding cake is like telling a Jew that he has to make a David Duke birthday cake.
Right.
What's the difference? You're forced to violate your conscience in a terrible way, and it's not the American way. We've got to stand up for people's right to live by their own moral conscience.
Yeah,
and not just for religious people, Janet. Everybody deserves that right. Another danger we have here is only standing up for, quote, religious liberty. What about somebody who's an atheist who believes that homosexuality is terribly wrong? Doesn't the atheist also have a right to live by his beliefs?
Good point. Good point. Yeah, that's right. And where does it stop, too? Because the acronym LGBT keeps getting more letters. So are you just going to put out executive orders that will protect the next class? I mean, this is another thing they point out that, you know, if somebody feels
exactly.
like they want to go to work nude, do you then have to force the employers to let the guy do it? I mean, at what point are we a society and not just a bunch of personal automatons, if you want to put it that way?
Yeah, they're going to have to go to another language. They're running out of English letters. I mean, it's so ridiculous. I don't think the average homosexual could even come close to defining all the identities. I don't think I can still fully assess what define what a genderqueer is.
No.
I think a genderqueer is you get to choose your gender whatever given day, whatever given hour. I mean, it's absurd what's going on. And if you're going to protect identities and codify them into law, then what about all sorts of identities? What about MAPS, minor attracted persons, which is the PC, the politically correct name for pedophiles?
No way.
What about them?
No way.
What about their identity? Should they be protected?
Well, philosophically, it's going to head in that direction because there's no moral barrier to it.
Yeah, and I have gay activists on record over the years. I've been doing this 25 years. I have gay activists on record who say that pedophilia is a sexual orientation.
Yeah. Well, the other problem with somebody upholding an executive order or issuing an executive order as president, doing something bad on this or doing something good on this, is the next president can just come along and take it away. If you have it as federal law, it's a whole lot harder to get rid of that by design. This is how the founders designed it. So we have protections that would be permanent. And I'm wondering how much Congress is really going to undergird this and protect our religious freedom. What about this First Amendment Defense Act?
Well, I have not studied it as carefully as I should have by now, but I will say this. I'm hearing a lot from people who are wary that the compromise is coming. They keep scaling back.
Oh, no.
And let's face it, like I said, we all have the freedom to live by our moral beliefs. And, you know, I've heard in this debate over the last few years, some people start talking about artistic freedom. Okay. You know, an artist shouldn't have to validate homosexual so-called marriage if it violates their artistic Christian sensibilities. Well, fine. But let's just take an example. What about a guy who sells wedding chairs for weddings? You know, chairs.
Yes.
For events.
Yes.
And a homosexual activist says, hey, we're going to do a celebration of gay marriage and we want to rent some of your chairs. Okay, he's not an artist, but shouldn't he have the freedom not to lend his business to be in the service of something as evil as marriage that God gave us between man and woman, calling marriage, you know, two guys getting married, that is evil. The idea that that is marriage is wrong. And should that man who is not an artist, shouldn't he have the same freedom to refuse to use his hard work and his business to support that evil idea?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great point, Peter. Well, check out Peter LaBarbera's work at LifeSiteNews.com and AFTA.com, AmericansForTruth.com. Always good to talk to you, Peter. Thanks a lot.
God bless, Janet.
You too. Talk to you later, and we'll be back. This Janet Mefford Today podcast is sponsored by Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a nonprofit healthcare sharing ministry that allows you to control and manage your own healthcare and choose any doctor or hospital in the nation. If you're a freedom-loving American looking for contract-free healthcare, call now 855-585-4237 or go to libertyhealthshare.org. Welcome back to Janet Mefford Today. Great to have you here. And as we learn more about Judge Neil Gorsuch, President Trump's pick for the Supreme Court, Democrats are already lining up to say all sorts of things about him. This was one of my favorites. Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon, the Gorsuch nomination represents a breathtaking retreat from the notion that Americans have a fundamental right to constitutional liberties. Well, that's a pretty big accusation. We're going to get some thoughts on it now from Penny Nance, who is CEO and president of Concerned Women for America. Boy, they don't hold back, do they, Penny? This is quite an accusation.
Right? The hyperbolic left, right?
I mean, I know.
They can't control themselves, and it's actually almost fun to watch them contort themselves and to try to smear Judge Gorsuch, but it's not going to work because he is so qualified and has just a sterling record. So it's just a matter of time before they're going to have to capitulate. And it'll be interesting to see how that all unwinds.
It certainly will be interesting. So we all want to know more about Judge Gorsuch, but what we know so far is really encouraging. I know he's very pro-life. He wrote that book on assisted suicide and euthanasia, where he took a very pro-life stance. He's an originalist. He's had some great things to say about Scalia and all the rest. What do you so far like most about him? What do you think is really standing out about Judge Gorsuch that really makes him qualified to be Scalia's replacement?
Well, I mean, you know, he does have just a perfect, starting with his edge. If I had to, like, map out the perfect candidate, you know, if I could build the perfect candidate, he would almost be it.
Wow.
Because his educational credentials are impeccable. I mean, Columbia, Harvard, Oxford.
That's pretty good.
And then, yeah, pretty good. I mean, you know, it's not Liberty, but all right.
Right, right.
Three clerkships, including two Supreme Court clerkships. And then, you know, all the work he did, all 10th Circuit, 100%. He was given that role by voice vote. So there was unanimous consent for him to have that job on the 10th Circuit.
Yes.
By 12 sitting senators.
Yes, yes.
So I want to see what they're going to do about that.
Ugh.
And then, as you mentioned, the work he's done and his writings are very clear on his constitutionalist bent. He believes in the text. I don't think that means that I'm going to love every single thing that he writes or does, but I think it's, you know, he has a fidelity to the Constitution, and that is what we need. That's what we have to have in a Supreme Court justice. That's the right standard. I was looking for the quote that he said, I love this quote. He said, "All human beings are intrinsically valuable, and the intentional taking of human life by private citizens is always wrong." It's beautiful. It's perfect.
Yes, it is. And, you know, one of the cases that the left has been screaming about is the Hobby Lobby case, and he's, you know, a religious nut or whatever they're saying. They're saying all sorts of things. And you've got an article on your website, which I think is really interesting. You've got a quote here from Judge Gorsuch when he was talking about the Affordable Care Act compelling the Green family, who own Hobby Lobby, to act. And RFRA, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, says they need not. Gorsuch said, "We are asked to decide which legislative direction controls. The tiebreaker is found not in our own opinions about good policy, but in the laws Congress enacted." So he's
correct,
going by what Congress actually passed. And I think it's interesting, even the
signed
New York...
Signed by Bill Clinton, by the way.
Signed by Bill Clinton.
That legislation, yes.
Yes.
Religious Freedom Restoration Act was a piece of legislation when I worked at Prison Fellowship, we strongly supported, because it underscores the rights of prisoners to even engage in religious practices and worship and, you know, go to chapel while they're imprisoned. But based on, you know, the First Amendment and religious freedom, and it was championed by Democrats and signed by Bill Clinton.
Yeah. Yeah, but that was then. You know, Hillary used to be for real marriage, too. But you know,
that's true.
Things change. Right? Things change. But wasn't it interesting? The New York Times had run that piece by the former acting solicitor general under Obama, who said liberals ought to support Gorsuch because he has a fundamental commitment to the rule of law, which would be good for the country. And I thought, am I reading this right? Is this really the New York Times? That was quite a piece.
Well, and about 20, in fact, leading Democrat leaders have come out in his favor. So again, like I said, it's a matter of time. By the way, Janet, you probably didn't know this. I've had this crazy week. I was in the White House with the president discussing Gorsuch on Wednesday.
Oh, wow.
With a few other leaders. And we were able to sit down with the president and the vice president and just kind of talk about gaming forward, what we're going to do. And I was joined by everybody from, there's maybe like eight of us. But it was Susan B. Anthony Liz, my friend Richard Dannenfelder, National Rifle Association, Americans for Tax Reform. It was, you know, a number of groups, of conservative groups, and it was very clear how unified conservatives are on this nominee, and we're hard to beat when we all get together. It doesn't happen all the time.
Yeah.
We don't always get on the same page. This is one we're all on the same page on, and the other side is going to try to drag their feet, but eventually they're going to have to give in.
That's great. So you're just hanging with the president on Wednesday. That's what you do.
Normal Wednesday.
That's normal Wednesday for you, Penny. But this is so encouraging for us. It's why we love Concerned Women for America, because you have access like that most of us out here don't have. And that's encouraging. I think the influence that you have as an organization makes a big difference for all of us to be able to say, looking Donald Trump in the eye, President Trump, and saying, we support this man. And what does it say, too, about the fact that he followed through, that he actually did pick somebody that is a rousing the spirits of the conservatives. It's good.
Right. Well, and that's what we discussed. And I was able to thank him on behalf of CWA members and conservative women for following through on his promise.
That's great.
And for choosing a constitutionalist. And I was able to pledge to him, and I need everyone's help to fulfill this pledge, that we will light up the Senate phones in support of him. So I need everyone to call their two senators and to specifically, I know you're on a lot of bot stations in Missouri. Claire McCaskill needs to hear from people.
Yes.
Montana, Tester, Donnelly in Indiana. In Joe Manchin, I think will be okay, but I think he needs support from people in West Virginia. And there's several others there that were Democrats for whom Trump carried their states, and they need to hear. And so I think we've got to do our part by staying engaged and just communicating, whether it's by email or whether it's by phone call to our senators. We have to do our part, but the president has done his part. He has followed through on his promise. Now we have to get it across the finish line.
We sure do. And I know you've got a petition out, and just getting people on board is a big deal, isn't it? Because it gives you the ability to go on Capitol Hill and say, look at all these people who are behind Judge Gorsuch.
That's right. When I walk into Claire McCaskill's office and say, you know, I have several thousand people from your state who have signed this petition asking you to support him, what are you going to do? It strengthens our hands. So yes, we absolutely need people to come and sign our petition and be a part of what we're doing.
Excellent. Well, Penny, when you are doing something along those lines, what sorts of things do you do? You're doing meetings. Are you going to specifically to these senators who you're worried about? How does it work where you are?
So, you know, I'm messaging, and I am so blessed to have a fantastic team around me at CWA. We have a Senate lobbyist and a House lobbyist. I have Ashley Traficant working over on the Senate side, and she's meeting the Senate staff, and then I'm going in to meet with individual senators, and we're going in representation of our membership. So that's why it's important having members at CWA, because it's our troops that we have behind us. It's not just me going in and advocating, but when I go and show up, I'm in essence being your voice. I'm representing the members and supporters of Concerned Women for America. So, share our organization, our website, our Facebook page with your friends, and bring more people to engagement, and we'll be even more effective. I'm talking to you today from New York, because I was on CNN last night, and was speaking about Israel on behalf of Israel and
yep.
our evangelical support for Israel.
That's so great. You guys do such great things. So go to CapitolHillBrief.org. Get on this petition to support Judge Neil Gorsuch for the Supreme Court. Penny Nance, always great to talk to you, my friend. Take care. Thanks for being with us, and we'll be back. Hi, this is Janet Mefford. Has your health care become a burden? Are you worried about being stuck for another year and wondering what your options are? Liberty HealthShare could be the solution to your problem. Open enrollment is here, and it could be your chance to free yourself from insurance. Take this opportunity and join Liberty HealthShare. You can finally be in control and have freedom when it comes to your health care. Liberty HealthShare offers an entirely open network, which means you choose your doctors and you choose your hospital. Liberty HealthShare offers freedom from insurance, meaning no related tax penalties. To find out how you can easily make the change, call Liberty HealthShare today at 855-585-4237. That's 855-585-4237. Or visit their website at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. Or call 855-585-4237.
Fossils. Where'd they come from? This is Ken Ham on a mission to call a church back to the authority of God's Word. Fossils are often thought to be millions of years old and the result of slow and gradual processes over long periods of time. But did you know the Bible provides a much better explanation for the origin of fossils? In Genesis, we read about the global flood of Noah's day. This catastrophic event would have ripped up miles of sediment and redeposited it in layers. Billions of organisms would have gotten trapped and buried in this sediment, eventually becoming the fossils we dig up today. This didn't take millions of years. It took just a few short months during the flood. Yes, the flood explains why we find billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down by water all over the earth.
Want to learn more about fossils and the flood and our life-size Noah's Ark? Go to our website at AnswersRadio.com. Also, listen to this program again at AnswersRadio.com.
We are back on Janet Mefford today. So Politico is out with this story about Ivanka Trump and her husband, Jared Kushner, who is advising President Trump. And they report that this couple helped lead the charge to scuttle a draft executive order that would have overturned Obama-era enforcements of LGBT rights in the workplace. This is according to multiple sources with knowledge of the situation. Now, it's written a little bit backwards, because what really they are saying is that Ivanka Trump and her husband helped lead the charge to scuttle a draft executive order to uphold religious freedom. So they go on to report a draft executive order on LGBT rights that outlines how to roll back former President Barack Obama's protections and expand legal exemptions based on religious beliefs has been circulating among journalists and worried progressive groups this week. But two sources close to Kushner and Ivanka Trump, who have a record of supporting gay rights, said the couple favored putting out a clear statement from the president promising to uphold the 2014 Obama executive order and stopping the momentum for the turnaround in its tracks. So that explains a little bit, as we were discussing earlier, this 2014 order that Obama put out that should not have been dealt with. This issue should not have been dealt with via executive order. And now we know why. Apparently, that's what happened, was President Trump's daughter and son-in-law said you should keep going with it. This is just going to be interesting, though. And they talk a lot about the religious right is pressuring President Trump, as they should. The statement did not quash the chatter completely. Members of the religious right with ties to the Trump administration said they have been led to believe that some changes will still be forthcoming. And they quote our friend Tony Perkins from the Family Research Council, who said, I think they're going to address the conflict that exists currently, which would preclude religious organizations from contracting with the federal government. I feel confident that they have an appreciation of religious freedom, and I'm pretty certain they're going to address it. I'm talking to people in the Trump administration, and I know they understand the importance of this. Perkins said Vice President Mike Pence has been involved and is clearly sensitive to this. I would expect so, given what happened in Indiana. If so, the fight over LGBT rights could reveal a fault line between Pence, who as governor of Indiana signed the Religious Freedom Restoration Act in 2015, and Kushner, who is Jewish and whose social circle includes socially progressive New Yorkers. I had a friend of mine ask, isn't he Orthodox Jewish? Are Orthodox Jews generally in favor of homosexuality? You know, and we know how it goes these days. We know how it goes. No matter what your particular label happens to be, where you happen to go to church or synagogue or what have you, you the label means almost nothing. Even the label of Christian means almost nothing with certain circles of people, because they say the right thing to do is to uphold gay rights. As a Christian, that's why I do it. It reminds me of people who are appearing in the pages of LifeNews.com or LifeSiteNews.com and saying, I'm a really strong Christian, which is why I'm an abortionist. I'm like, how in the world can you live your life like that and not see the contradiction? Pick a side. And you know what? That's my reaction to all of this. President Trump is going to have to pick a side. I don't think there is any way in the world you can please both sides of the aisle. We have talked about this movement in certain circles within the church that wants the fairness for all approach, where we're all going to come together and everybody's going to agree to disagree and both sides are going to be protected. Not possible. Not possible. And I don't know why people think it is possible. How in the world are you supposed to come together and have fellowship with light and darkness? You can't do it. You can't uphold religious freedom and also say that homosexuality is moral. How can you do that? How can you do both things simultaneously? You're just not going to be able to do it. So continue to pray for the administration and pray for those Christians who are in a position to influence the president and to have a say and to have a voice. Because I'm telling you, it is going to come down to picking one side or the other. And the way the culture is going, it's going to be a lot more tempting to go with the LGBT side, because they will make your life absolutely miserable if you don't do what they say. And considering all the other things that the administration is already dealing with, he may not want that fight. Plus, I'm not really sure how convicted he feels on that issue. He's talked about Obergefell, as we said, being settled law. So I think some people are going to have to definitely talk to him and have influence on him. But it's difficult if the people who are really wanting you to go in that direction are your family. That's a difficult part. I want to talk about one particular blog post that I saw over the weekend, and you really ought to read it. I'm not going to be able to get to all of it, but I thought it was really good. And it was discussing this issue of how everybody throws out the name Hitler. And this blogger, Reggie's blog is the name of it, Reggie Ham, wrote this. It's called This Hitler Nonsense. And I thought this was really interesting. He said, I'm not an expert on Hitler, but my father is. He toured post-war Germany extensively in the 50s. He recounts stories. He visited with SS widows and has all sorts of knowledge about this. And these and other intense experiences in Germany sent my father on a lifelong quest to understand this sociopath and the country that allowed itself to be dragged into one of the darkest chapters in world history. So I learned a lot about Hitler and the Third Reich just by osmosis growing up. The thing my father and I have often discussed through the years is the eye-rolling art of comparing American presidents to Hitler. It is such an absurdity, we find it amusing and frustrating. It's often just a punchline. Like the soup Nazi wasn't really a Nazi. He was just mean, from Seinfeld. But the truth about Nazis isn't funny at all. It's bloody and horrible and gut-churning, and it involves machine guns and butchery and inhumanity on a scale that takes your breath away. Nobody is really a soup Nazi unless they served it in a concentration camp. The idea of comparing an American president to Hitler is just as absurd from any angle, in any context. He said the American system itself pretty much prevents Hitlers from showing up, and America itself is anathema to what Hitler was trying to create. An American anything or anyone is hard to fit into the Hitler model. It's just not apples to apples. Here are some fundamental things to understand about Hitler. He took over a small failing state that didn't have separated government, enumerated powers, or checks and balances. It's difficult for a guy like that to show up here in this system. His entire political career was violent from the beginning. There was always death in his wake. He didn't just suddenly turn violent. It was a pattern, as is always with sociopaths. This is the most important thing to watch, the violence. I always keep an eye on who is rioting, breaking things, throwing rocks and bombs. It doesn't make them Nazis, but it signals how far they're willing to go. Also, Hitler entered office with his own personal military construct, the SS, with allegiance to him only. They would carry out things the regular military would never carry out, like the murder of private citizens and political opponents. Nothing like that exists or could exist in America. We simply wouldn't allow it. And he says Hitler didn't start out just killing Jews. He started out euthanizing people with special needs for the betterment of the caregivers' lives. And you can decide which side of the aisle favors the extermination of inconvenient people. Hitler disarmed the population, then nationalized health care and education. Two out of three of those are Bernie Sanders' moves. But guess what? Bernie isn't Hitler either, not by a long shot. And he says, you could go on and on, but the deal is this. Hitler was a real-life murdering sociopath. He wasn't just a charismatic speaker who incrementally fell into bad behavior. He wasn't just a racist corrupted by unfettered power. In other words, you or I probably couldn't end up being Hitler. A garden variety KKK leader probably couldn't end up being Hitler either, or a community organizer, or a New York real estate tycoon. It's not that easy or simple. And he says, when people think they're seeing a Hitler, they might actually sometimes be seeing something closer to a Churchill. Before World War II, everyone thought Churchill was the big bad wolf. His own people hated him and thought he was a Hitler type character, again, pre-Hitler. But he just kept saying, guys, I'm telling you, this Hitler guy is the real problem, not me. And he turned out to be right. There's a difference between an abrasive leader who makes you uncomfortable and a despot. Now, one of the things I would say in response to this article, I really commend him for pointing out that the Hitler stuff has got to stop because it's just getting old and it takes all of the wind out of the sails of any real discussion about the evil, the overwhelming evil of the real Hitler. But here's the point. I don't think you can ever say nothing like that could ever happen here. Do you? Now, it certainly would not unfold the way it unfolded under Hitler because times are different and people are different. It's a different country, different circumstances. But when we understand that the heart of man, apart from Christ, is desperately wicked, then I don't always look at a country like ours with such a rich and wonderful history and think everything's going to continue to always be peaceful and we're always going to be reasonable and we're always going to be rational. We're not. We're not always going to be reasonable and rational. And yes, I do look at the side of the aisle that wants to get rid of inconvenient people. And I do look at the side of the aisle that's setting fires and breaking windows and rioting. And why not? Why shouldn't we look at these things? Why do I say that? I'm saying it because I think it's important for us to understand which side we're on as we head into uncharted waters here as a country. Just as I said that President Trump is going to have to pick a side. We're going to have to pick a side. Are we going to continue to be Americans the way we grew up, the understanders of freedom and liberty and all the rights that were given to us by God and protected by this government ought to be upheld and maintained? Or are we going to go in a brave new world direction and embrace a form of progressivism that is really more akin to sort of a fascist philosophy? We definitely need to pray for our country. Absolutely. Hey, thanks a lot for being with us. We'll see you next time right here on Janet Meffer Today.